What's going on, sexy lovers? Welcome back to the Sex Mechanic Podcast. Of course, I am your host, the Sex Mechanic, aka Gene Sabinwa, aka Mr. Born to Explore, aka Confident Creator, aka I Did It My Way, aka The Exception. And this is episode number 46 of the Sex Mechanic Podcast. Hello, how y'all doing? I'm doing things a little different today. You might notice me looking back and forth because I have two different cameras and two different devices going right now. So what's up, MickMick7899? So yeah, I'm doing a little bit different today, trying to get a dual stream going at the same time, simultaneously. So work with me. I am paying attention to both screens, so don't think that I'm not paying attention to the comments, because I am. I'm just looking at both cameras throughout, so work with me. How's everybody doing on this Friday evening? Hopefully everybody's enjoying a nice Friday. Let me know also if you can hear me on IG, because I'm using the microphone for YouTube as I usually do, but don't have a microphone for IG. So hopefully I'm being heard with no issues over there. Get that volume going too now. All right, cool. Usually do a better sound check, but not as well this time. So what's going on with y'all? How's everybody doing on this Friday evening? What y'all got going on? What y'all sipping on? What y'all drinking? You already know how I do. I have my my beverage in hand. I don't know if I've done this before, but I have a mixture of cider and hard seltzer together. So a very bubbly drink, but very delicious at the same time. So I'm excited about that mixture right there. I'm gonna let some more people come in, and yeah, it's been a good week. I'm happy to be here, proud to get another Friday Freak on Friday episode going. I'm excited about that, so we could talk about, you know, sex, dating, situationships, relationships, whatever y'all want to talk about, or whatever topic comes up, of course. So one thing I want to mention, very important. I had this thought yesterday when I was in the shower, where I usually have my thoughts and my realizations, right? So a thought I had yesterday was, sometimes we need to tell our egos to shut the fuck up. Straight up. Like, sometimes the ego has a way of just trying to bombard you with all this false information. And obviously, we've talked about this on the podcast, you know, different times before, how the ego just kind of wants to take front and center stage, wants to be the star of the show, wants to make everything about it, when in reality, the ego ain't really us. You know, the ego is a part of us as physical beings, but at the end of the day, the ego is not what defines us, and the ego is not who we are on a deeper and spiritual level. So sometimes you need to tell your ego to shut the fuck up, because it just be talking too much, like telling you all kind of stuff that just, you know, it's not really true. And it could really have you convincing, or it could really have you convinced that you are something that you're not, or that other people are things that they are not. And you have to be very strong and very aware of the distinction between you and your ego, and when either is speaking to you. So whether you're getting that information from your inner voice or from your ego makes a big difference in terms of how you behave and how you react to different situations. So just learn to either ignore the ego at times, or just understand the difference between the two, and know that, you know, all right, there you go talking shit again. You know, I'm gonna let him do his thing. But if it continues on and it doesn't stop, then that's when you just gotta say, hey, shut the fuck up, please. Like, I'm done listening to you. I know what it really is, and you're telling me a bunch of bullshit. So yeah. Excuse me. I thought that was important to start with, because yeah, like I said, I had that thought yesterday. I, you know, like anybody else, deal with the ego just being very active sometimes, and trying to really kind of come into play more than it needs to. You know, I don't think it's bad to have, you know, a certain amount of ego. Obviously, we all have it. So it's there for some purpose. So, you know, I'm not saying totally get rid of it, but learn to distinguish between what your ego is and what your true self is. And also understand that most times, you know, your deeper or highest self, I'll say, is not saying the same shit as your ego is saying. So just learn to distinguish between the two and choose wisely in terms of, you know, what advice you go by. So that's that. All right. That's out the way. That's done. Aside from that, I just wanted to talk about some stuff today. One of those is biggest age gaps in my dating. And I also want to hear about you guys' biggest dating age gaps as well. I think that's just a somewhat interesting topic. Sometimes people date up in terms of age. Sometimes people date down in terms of age. Sometimes we do a mixture. I know I'm guilty of going, let's see what my gaps were. My gaps were, the biggest gap was 11 years younger. That was more recent. Earlier in life, I had, what was that? I was 24. So I had 5 years younger. That wasn't that big a gap. But one I do remember as well was when I was about 25 or 26, she was 44. So like a 9 year difference, 9 years older. She was 44 and I was 25, I want to say. And I remember that pretty vividly. Dope individual. I mean, she was a wonderful woman. She actually passed of cancer some years back, a couple years back, but she was awesome. One funny story, not necessarily about me dating somebody, but me having contact with somebody who was much older than 9 years of a gap. At a New Year's Eve party on a boat one year, it was me and some friends or whatever. We was hanging out on a boat. And I actually came in contact with this older woman. I'll say this more mature woman who was at the time, I want to say at the time she was 65, right? 65. And I was, I think I want to say I wasn't in a relationship. So had to be maybe 20. I wasn't in my 20s. I was in my 30s for sure. I was maybe 30, 33, possibly something like that. 33, 34, something around there. But so yeah, me and this, you know, more mature woman are kicking it at the New Year's Eve party. And at the end of the night, you know what I'm saying? Like, we did a little pet kiss or whatever. So that's the oldest woman I've ever kissed for sure. The biggest age gap of anybody that I've ever had any kind of, I guess you could say, intimate interaction with. But it was just a pop kiss. It wasn't anything special or crazy. But for 65, she was looking pretty good. Like, honestly, like she was keeping herself up. I remember texting her like even after that, like for a short period of time, trying to see what was up. Because, hey, if you look good, I'm not too worried about you being too much older. There's a limit. Probably around 70 is a limit because I'm not trying to break any hips or, you know, damage any kind of, you know, bones or anything like that or try to hurt anybody. But typically, you know, it's whatever. If you look good for your age and you look good for your age, I'm going to at least see what's up. I'm going to see what's happening. You know, I'm going to inquire further, basically. And then the friend that lady was with actually was probably around the same age, but she did not look as together, let's say. So, you know, that's what it was. Welcome, Scholar 247. Thanks for joining. So yeah, like I said, I'm doing the dual stream right now. So hopefully everybody can hear me on the IG side. I know YouTubers can hear me because I'm using I'm using my headset and I can actually hear what you can hear. But if you are having any trouble hearing me on IG, let me know. Let's put these comments up to make sure I'm not missing anything. All right. So yeah, the age gap thing, is that even important? Like, is that a big deal? To date somebody who's way older or way younger, is that something that needs to be taken into consideration more when you're dating or when you are looking for a partner? I think that all depends on the individuals, to be totally honest with you. It depends on where you are in life, what you're trying to accomplish at that moment in your life, and whether the person that you are dating or seeking out to date are on a similar or are on a similar or in the same place. Excuse me. So age is not as important as where you both are in life, you know, kind of. So what stage of life you're in? Are you both in similar stages in terms of, you know, your careers? Do you have similar goals in terms of, you know, wanting children, a family, marriage, whatever, you know? Just it's more about where the two people are in their lives. And typically there is, there are certain ages where people are not necessarily trying to do the same things or not in the same stage of life. Typically what it seems like is in our 20s, maybe I'd say around 28 is where people reach kind of like a new level, specifically men for sure. Around 28, that's when we kind of get our shit together a little bit more. We kind of know more of our direction in life. We might have a career that we've been in for a little bit, and so now we're like getting that going even more. But 28 is an age where guys for sure get a lot of things going and kind of get their momentum going in life. I would say for women too, 28 is a good age where she's probably ready to date, you know, somebody who's maybe in their 30s or in their 40s, because that's kind of like a different stage of the 20s. 28 seems to be that magic number where people just kind of a switch flicks on and things just kind of go in a different direction. In terms of like, once you get to like 28 and then beyond, I feel like people can kind of date within whatever ranges above that they want to, because they're probably going to meet people who are in similar enough stages in their lives. Maybe not in the same exact place. You might meet somebody who is maybe getting ready to retire, but that person may have similar interest, and you know, it can still work out. But to be totally honest, the age thing is just an age thing. It's just a number. You might meet somebody who's way younger than you. Might be 24 or something like that. And you might think that y'all don't have that much in common, but y'all might be in similar places in terms of where you're at as a 32-year-old or something, you know? So the number is really just a number. I'm speaking in generalities, obviously, but from what I've noticed, it seems like there is kind of like a threshold, and that threshold is like 28, where, you know, people start to kind of like be on similar wavelengths or whatever the case may be. And not always the case. You can find people younger than that who are also on the same wavelength as you. It all depends on the individuals, like I said before. But yeah, so ultimately the number doesn't. Now, let me give you an example. I had dated somebody one time when I was about 24. She was 19. I don't know if you'd call it dating, but we were, you know, we were messing with each other. Like, we were somewhat involved. And I remember that being, even though that's only 5 years, it felt like a big gap in terms of where we were at in life, and kind of what we wanted as well, like kind of the direction we were going. Because I remember at that time, I was really, even though I was only 24, I really felt like I was somewhat lost in life. I remember I was working out to eventually try out for any kind of like open tryouts for football. So I was working out a lot, and that was like my plan A. And then my plan B was to go back to school if that didn't work out, which ended up happening. Go back to school and then get my engineering degree. I went back to school, but didn't end up getting an engineering degree because I just wasn't feeling it enough. And so that was my mindset at 24. And she was like, you know, just coming out of high school the year before. So it was kind of like we were in two different places in terms of, you know, where we were going and where we were at the time. So yeah, the number doesn't matter so much, but definitely where people are in life does matter, because priorities are just different at different stages in life, not ages, but stages. So whatever stage you're in is what determines whether you're ready to be in a relationship with somebody younger or older by a certain amount of age or by a certain amount of years. So you might be with somebody older who's not on your level in terms of where you're at, and they don't have their shit together, or they're trying to figure stuff out. So the age really isn't the main point of it. It's really what stage of life you're in. So another question I had was, this is kind of a little off that topic. This is a little different, but how, I guess the question is, what determines people's comfort level around discussing sex openly, right? So the other day, I think it was yesterday, actually, made a comment on a video that I was watching, and there was somebody that actually commented on my comment and was saying that basically, you know, not everybody is wanting to talk about sex openly. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Like, honestly, you'd be surprised how many people are not open to talking about sex. And to me, that's something that in our society, we've just been taught that sex stays private, or discussions about sex stay private. You don't really, you know, talk about that out loud. And you keep that behind closed doors. And I just thought that was interesting, because I feel like maybe, you know, I see a shift a little bit in people being a little bit more comfortable to talk about sex and open, you know, discussion. And I think that's really cool. Obviously, I think it's dope. And I did kind of just want to get an understanding from other people, like kind of where they feel like they are on that scale of whether they're comfortable discussing sex or not comfortable discussing sex, and where they feel like that began or where that came from. And maybe do they feel like they want to change that or not? Like, I kind of want to know what you and the audience feel about those topics in particular. Hello, Bambi Zled. I wish I knew how to pronounce your name, but I don't. Welcome. But yeah, I'm kind of interested to hear what y'all think about that, really. Because for me, I can't say that I grew up discussing sex, because my parents did not talk about sex in the household. That was not something that was normal. That wasn't something that was necessarily openly discussed. I didn't know anything about my parents, and when it came to like their sex lives, until way later in life, until probably I became someone who studied sex, and they knew that. I think that's around the time when I knew anything about their sex lives. So it wasn't something that was talked about. I do remember, I'm not going to say which one, but one of my parents was definitely very open about walking around the house in the nude and just kind of like showing their body off. And I think I probably picked up on that. And I'm pretty similar. And that says, I'm not going to blame my parents for it, but I definitely got that from one of my parents for sure. Kind of like that attitude of just kind of like, you know, it's your body. You know what I'm saying? Like, who cares? You should be able to walk around no matter how you look or how you feel, around your own crib, obviously, with no clothes on if you want to, and be comfortable. So I do remember that. But in terms of talk about sex and all that, nah, didn't happen. Like, that was not a thing in our household. And so for me, it was something, you know, I grew up in a church and all that. And so the discussions of sex wasn't even necessarily on my mind. I mean, I think I told the audience at some point that the first time I masturbated was like at 20 years old. 20. It was like after I had had sex. That's when I had masturbated for the first time, believe it or not. So sex was definitely not something that was, it was on my mind to some degree because I've always been a sexual person. I just didn't know how to express it and I didn't necessarily know too much about it. So it wasn't until college that I started really asking people questions about sex. And I was just kind of like, you know, inquiring. I was very inquisitive when it came to sex. So I'm asking friends, I'm asking people who had already been engaging for, you know, years at that point, you know, different things about sex. And obviously that's when I had my first experiences sexually as well, was in college. And so I got to, you know, really learn more about it just through the fact that now I'm engaging. And since I want to know what the hell I'm doing, I'm definitely going to look into it further and try to figure out what this thing is all about and kind of how to enjoy it and how to help the other person that I'm with enjoy it as well. So that's kind of how, I mean, that's kind of how that came about. But I wouldn't say that it was something that I was shy talking about. Once I started having questions about it, I literally was like openly asking my friends questions about, you know, their sexual interactions and different things around it. So for me, it was never really a topic of a taboo topic, a topic to not really talk about. It was just, I don't know, I'm not going to say normal, but it seemed like it was a part of the human experience. And it was something that we should discuss. Even though I wasn't engaging in it, I still felt this level of, I don't know, comfort or normalcy around it to where it didn't seem weird or strange to discuss it openly. So, okay, so that's me. That's me and my perspective, but my experience with it. But I am interested to hear what some other people maybe think about that. Like, do you feel like it's something that you grew up listening, not listening to? I made it sound like it's music. was it something you grew up around in terms of the conversations around sex? Was it something that in your household as well was kind of closed off, not really discussed? I don't know if anybody had the birds and the bees discussion or had that from their parents. I know I didn't. But, you know, if somebody has, that'd be very interesting to hear how that went. Like, really, I'd be curious to know. So SG says, I'm open to talking about sex and many other topics just because of my profession. However, if I was not in this profession, I can't say that would be the case. Probably would be strange. Okay. All right. Well, then the next question, thank you for that comment. The question that I have would be, how do you feel like you were drawn to that type of profession that allows you to be open about talking about something like that? Do you feel like maybe somewhere in there you had some level of comfort around sex, you just maybe didn't know how to express it? Or do you feel like having that profession is what brought you out of that shell and allowed you to be comfortable talking about it? That was a very great comment, by the way. Thank you. Because for me, I feel like it was the other way around. I feel like me asking the questions and being inquisitive and wondering all of a sudden was what actually pushed me towards my profession of sexology or the study of sexology. That's what made me more interested in it, was the curiosity around it. And then that kind of exposed me to all the other parts around sex. And it's almost like the interest had always been there, but it got sparked once I found out more about it and I understood, and, you know, reading stuff from like Masters and Johnson and, you know, learning about Dr. I think his name was Alfred Kegel and stuff like that. Like those things were interesting to me back in the day, not just back in the day now too, but when I first learned about them, they were like, you know, they sparked something and it was kind of like, wow, this is really cool stuff. Like I like this. So I'm wondering if that's kind of the effect it had on you, or do you feel like the job is actually what got you more level of comfort, so to speak? Take a sip of my drink. Anybody on IG got any comments? So SG says, I wouldn't say I felt the normalcy prior. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. I'm really wondering, does anybody have an experience where your parents or people that you lived with even kind of gave you the rundown on sex before you actually had sex? Like, was that a thing for anybody? Because I know I didn't get that. I damn sure did not get that. So I'm wondering if that happened in anybody's household where they got, even not in your household, maybe, you know, an uncle or aunt or something like that, maybe put you up on game. What's going on, Juicy Lucy 99? Welcome. I am curious about that, man, because, yo, like, I wonder what that conversation would be like. I don't think it would be that big a deal for me. It'd probably be more nerve-wracking for my parents. I know how on shows and movies and stuff, you see, like, the parents have to have that conversation with their children, and they're really, like, weird about it. I feel like if I have kids, obviously, they're going to know that their father is the sex mechanic, so it's not going to be... I don't think it's going to be that weird, to be honest with you. It's probably going to be more strange and weird for them to hear me talking about sex than it is going to be for me. but I've been curious about what that kind of conversation sounds like in a household where people are more open and free talking about it. Because I haven't seen that in real life. Only seen it in the movies. And also another question I have is, like, how, now that you're, I'm assuming that everybody who's watching this is an adult, I'm sure different age ranges, but still you're an adult. So how do you see yourself if you either have children or plan on having children? How do you see yourself having those discussions with your children or your kids at some point? Or is it something that you feel like maybe you'll hold off until they come to you about it and ask you some questions? Because that's another thing. I never went to my parents and asked them any questions about sex, which is kind of crazy. I don't know if it's because they're like the last people I would have thought of as having any answers about sex, even though clearly they've had sex at least twice because I have a sister. But for whatever reason, I was asking all kind of other people except my parents. And it's funny because that's kind of how we do as young people. Well, at the time when I was a young person, I still feel young, even though I'm 38. But it's funny how we do. Like, we ask all kind of other people. We ask our peers. We ask people that probably don't have that much information, that much good information about it, for advice about sex. When our parents are clearly either have had sex or maybe are still having sex, depending on their relationship, but we don't think to ask them. And it's just funny having conversations about sex with, you know, my dad now as a grown adult, and having conversations about sex with my mom now as a grown adult versus, you know, back then when I was a lot younger. I remember telling my mom for the first time that because for a while she knew that I hadn't, when I went off to college, I was still a virgin. So there was no like alert or anything to her of when I, you know, I lost that, you know, when that V dropped. So, I remember coming back home I want to say I was probably still in school, but this was maybe senior year, something like that. Senior year, junior year. And I remember we were all, it was me, my sister, my cousin, my mom and my dad, like just in their bed or whatever, just like chilling one morning, just talking. And the topic of sex came up, and then my cousin threw me under the bus because he loves doing this. He was like, oh man, ain't you like having sex now or something? He made some kind of comment like that. And then my mom was like, what? Like surprised. And I'm like, yeah, mom, like obviously I'm not a virgin anymore. I've been in college for three and a half years now. Like, of course I'm fucking. I didn't say that, obviously, but that was the response, was kind of like, yeah, of course I am. And I was like, yeah. And I'd be giving head too. And I love it. And that part was just like, oh, she was just, you know, taken aback, clutching her pearls. But I thought it was hilarious. I mean, it was funny. That was my introduction, not my introduction, but that was my way of, that's the way that my parents found out for sure that I was having sex, that I was sexually active, by me admitting it and admitting to also enjoying providing oral pleasure. So I thought it was hilarious, but I'm somebody who takes things so light and I'm kind of easygoing about shit. So for me, it was funny more than anything else. For her, maybe she might've felt some kind of way about it after, but for me, it was a good time. I laughed, obviously. Oh man, good times. Ooh, I got another question for y'all too. So this is for people who have a penis of their own. I say a penis of their own because I'm not talking about necessarily a toy or anything like that. I'm saying if you have a penis that's attached to your body, if you had the flexibility to give yourself oral pleasure, would you engage? I don't know how many dudes I got in here right now, but that's the question. And I'll answer it as well. My answer is I'd have to try it at least once. Like, I'm sorry. I know how it looks or how it may seem, but first of all, it's mine. You know what I'm saying? And I use other means of pleasure on myself, so I don't feel like that would be any different. However, sounds like a lot of fucking work. So I would at least try one time, but I'm also not really into head that much anyway. So I'll have to at least give it a shot, but I don't think it's something I would do beyond one or two times to test it out and see what it's like. But it would be a funny story, I guess, to tell friends or whatever, if that ever came up, or if, I don't know, it would just be hilarious to me. Because again, I feel like it's mine, so I should be able to do with it as I wish. But it does sound like a lot of work and something I probably would not be interested in continuing to do over a period of time. But I would have to at least see what it's about. Let me test this thing out. But yeah, I was watching this podcast and they brought that up in terms of there's a, I guess, more people, not more people, but there's people that they've found who've been doing that, who've been engaging in that. And I feel like if you can and you enjoy doing it to yourself, then why not? Like, do whatever the hell you want to yourself. Like, this is your body, literally your body. And if you are not getting it elsewhere, why not get it from yourself? I think self-love, self-pleasure is one of the best ways that you can honor yourself, you know? And obviously there's a lot of different things around society, around what people should and shouldn't do sexually and what that means if people do certain things sexually. But at the end of the day, do what the hell makes you feel good, man. For real. Like, especially if it's something that you're doing to and with yourself, do what feels good for sure. Don't worry about what other people are talking about. Don't get caught up in the fact that other people say this or that. What that makes me think of is that interview that Tank had like a year and a half ago or something like that, where he made a comment about how it doesn't, he doesn't feel like, or not he doesn't feel like, but he said that you're not necessarily homosexual if you have tried, you know, a sexual act with someone of the same sex. And I actually agree with him, even though I don't have that experience, but I understand where he's coming from in terms of people should be allowed to try different things. And if you switch it and put it in terms of a woman, women are, in this case, more allowed to explore their sexuality than men are without being judged or labeled in a certain way. And so I think this is one of those cases where there would probably be a double standard. It'd probably be people yelling out and saying that, you know, this makes you homosexual if you, you know, give yourself oral pleasure, if you give yourself head, like, let them say what they're going to say. It's whatever. It's your body. Do what the fuck you want with it. You're not hurting anybody. You're being safe, hopefully. And, you know, you're enjoying your life. At the end of the day, that's about all we can ask for, is to do the best for ourselves, to be in pleasurable and enjoyable positions, be in pleasurable and enjoyable positions. No pun intended, but a little pun intended. But yeah, what y'all think about that? Is that something that y'all feel like would be off, not off bounds, out of bounds in terms of, let's say you had a partner. Oh, now it gets good. To the ladies in here, if you had a partner who had that ability and he lets you know that, hey, I'm from time to time engaging in some oral self-pleasure, would that be a problem? Would that be an issue? How would you feel about that? How do you compare that to masturbation, you know, using hands? I'm curious. I want to hear from y'all and see what y'all think. The scenario would be like, oh, I came to you and I was like, hey, so you was, you know, gone, or you were away for a couple weeks or whatever the case may be. And I was a little curious, and I just did a little, you know, boop, boop, a little, you know, a little kiss on the tip. But we still good though, right? That's the scenario. So what would you say? Like, what would you say? What would be your reaction? How would you feel about that? I am curious to know. SG says, it's not the same. I could not do him. Oh, man. Like that? Damn. So you see how we can't be as open with our sexuality and exploring ourselves? Come on now. Damn. That's a damn shame, yo. Thank you for the comment, though. That really made my night. That was funny. All right. So clearly, for SG, that wouldn't fly. That wouldn't be something that she's interested in continuing on with somebody if she knew about. Anybody else want to interject, add anything? I want to hear all opinions, all views and sides if you have them. SG also says, well, another woman might appreciate it. You're right. Maybe. I don't know how many women would appreciate it, because I don't really do anything for them, I guess. Or maybe it does. Maybe, you know, he takes care of the self-pleasure so she doesn't have to, you know? That could be it as well. Like, he might be just what he needs when it comes to that. And he knows exactly how to do it to himself to get himself where he wants to go. And maybe she won't really have to do it if she's not into it. So yeah, that could be a way of, you know, y'all working together as a team. You know what I'm saying? Like y'all working hand in hand, or in this case, you know, yeah, y'all working together and making it work. But that is funny. Oh man, it's not the same. Why is it? I want to know, why is it not the same? I'm curious. Obviously, there's a double standard around it, but I want to know why that double standard is there, and kind of what your thinking is behind why is that problematic, or why is that a problem for him to I guess be doing that in your eyes? You know, if it's somebody you're with, why is that an issue for you? Oh, this is a hilarious scenario to me. I don't know why, but it's funny. It's really funny to me. Oh, don't forget too. Let me put this down here. People on IG can't see this, but people on YouTube will. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and comment on the video. I'm still trying to get to 1,000 subscribers. So that begins now at this very moment. So do me a favor, hit the subscribe button. And if you enjoy the conversation and you feel like other people can benefit from the conversation, make sure to share this and other videos of mine with people you know. That way people can get on to me and see what I'm over here talking about. And have fun laughing along with me in these conversations. I laugh about it because, again, I don't take many things too serious. And when we're talking about sex, at the end of the day, I feel like however somebody else feels about what you want to do sexually is their problem for the most part. If it's somebody you're with and maybe you have different desires in terms of what you want, then maybe you got to find a partner that, you know, is okay with what it is you want or what it is you desire, or somebody who's more of a match for you. So I'm not saying that this is not like, you know, this is not a big deal, but to some degree it's not. It's sex. Sex is supposed to be fun. Sex is supposed to be liberating, empowering, free if possible. Not always the case, but that's okay if it's not as well. But when I say free, I mean, sex is supposed to be something that's really just pleasurable and light and fun. So don't take that too serious. If you have somebody who, if somebody out there right now is watching or listening to the podcast and is in this scenario and is on the end of the person that is doing this to themselves and has a partner that doesn't agree with that, then maybe you should find a partner that does. Or maybe you should go at it alone or do whatever you need to do. But I don't want it to be, or maybe even work it out, maybe even discuss it. It could be something that could be worked out when discussed out in the open and talked about. All I'm saying is that don't change your desires or your sexual needs for anybody. You know, what you need or what you prefer, what you desire sexually is what you desire. And there's nothing wrong with that. So SG says, yes, because I don't want my man giving himself head. Just seem wrong. Like I said, maybe okay with another woman. I got you. I understand. It's just not for you. And then SG also says exactly, probably based on something I was just saying on my little rant, but I don't remember everything all the way through that I said. So thank you for agreeing, I guess. But yeah, everything ain't for everybody. And that's something that once people accept more easily or accept quicker, you're able to move on from a lot of situations without as much stress as maybe you have in the past. A lot of times we try to hold on to certain things that aren't even a good fit. And I'm guilty of this too. Like, I'm not even saying this, like, speaking at anybody. I'm speaking to myself as well. Like, sometimes we try to hold on to shit that we shouldn't be trying to hold on to. And we should just really just let it go and let it do its thing. honestly, letting go is one of the biggest skills that any person can, in my opinion, benefit from. But I think it's fair to say that it's a skill that most people struggle with. I don't even think most people look at it as a skill. Letting go, being able to let go, truly let go, is really a skill. And I'm learning that as I am attempting to live my life in that way. I'm learning how much of a skill it really is. It's something you have to learn, something you have to train yourself into, something you have to recondition yourself into understanding and how to operate from a space that you're trying to operate from. And it's really a mindset. And so I get it. But once you get to that point where you can let go of things, and one of those things being letting go of maybe a situation sexually that's not a match for you, the sooner you'll be able to, you know, have pleasure and joy the way that you deserve to have it. We need to stop trying to force shit, people. Again, speaking to myself as well. We need to start learning how to let shit go and let things flow as they will, as opposed to trying to make things happen the way we want them to happen. Because one thing I've learned in my 38 years, but mostly in the last maybe few, is that it's much easier to just go along with the flow as opposed to trying to force things into place. And at the end of the day, sometimes we think we know what it is exactly that we want in the big picture of things, but we really don't know exactly how that's supposed to look. And I've talked about that on this podcast before too. It's knowing the what, but not being so concerned about the how, because the way you get there is none of your business. It's really not. I mean, not until it's shown to you. The way you get to whatever you're trying to get to, that's the journey. That's what we're here for. That's the experience that we're here for. And so we shouldn't be so wrapped up in trying to make the journey the way we want it to be, as opposed to just riding along with the journey and letting it show us what it's going to show us. So hopefully that made some level of sense for y'all. But yeah, all right. Well, I guess nobody else has any opinion on having a partner who would be doing that. But yeah, I thought that was an interesting conversation to bring up. And I know there's probably some, you know, maybe some guys out there who might feel some level of self-consciousness about saying they might want to try it or they might do that to themselves. So I definitely wanted to be the first one out to say I would definitely try, but I'm not a fan of it enough to continue on. Just be something that I'd just be curious. All right, let me see what it's like. Let me see what this is about. You know, let me see if I can make myself feel good. Then after that, I'd probably go back to just using my hands because it's a lot easier. And I already admitted last week, I'm a lazy lover sometimes, so I'll go for what's easier, what gets me to where I'm trying to go, as opposed to doing all the extras and going above and beyond. So yeah, but that's just me. So is there anything question wise, any comments that anybody wants to make, anything that anybody wants to propose in terms of a topic or, you know, something y'all want to talk about? Y'all let me know. Y'all got me on here for as long as you want tonight. So let me know if there's a question or a comment that you have for me. I didn't see what anybody was sipping or drinking on, by the way. I didn't see any comments about what people had in their cup or their glass on either IG or on YouTube. Where y'all at with y'all? I know y'all drinking something. It's a Friday night. If you're on the East Coast, it's almost 10 p.m. You know, oh, y'all might be going to bed probably. So are y'all early sleepers or because I'm an early sleeper around this time, I would be winding down, wouldn't be on any social media. So whoever's on here, I appreciate you because I would not be on here if it was almost 10 o'clock. I'm gonna wait a little bit more, see if anybody has a question or a comment. Strawberry daiquiri. Okay, that's dope. I see you. Nice. Strawberry daiquiri. That sounds pretty good, actually. That almost looks like my drink a little bit, but except without the slushy ice, though. Yeah. Cheers to you with the strawberry daiquiri. I'll eventually get your name and how to say it. Bombi's lead. Bombi's lead. I don't know. I don't know. All right, anybody, any questions, any comments? Yeah, I already know. I like to make sure that anything that anybody wants to be addressed is addressed. Any questions that people may have are answered. Any comments from our earlier discussion about the age gap and stages in life while dating? Discussing sex openly, giving yourself head. Oh, this podcast is fun, man. I really do enjoy it. I really do. Like, I be stressing about it sometimes, but then when I get on, it's just so comfortable and free. And it's just kind of like, we just on here talking shit sometimes, but sometimes talking some stuff that need to be said as well. So I really have a good time, and I thank y'all for joining me in this good time. It's time of fun. All right, y'all. So if y'all don't have any comments or concerns or questions, I want to say truly and honestly and sincerely, thank you for joining me tonight. I appreciate you for spending your time and talking with me and listening to what I have to say. Also, to the people who are listening to this on whatever devices you like to listen to your podcast on, audio-wise, thank you for listening and joining as well. Not joining, but listening. And yeah, I'll see you all next week for another episode. And let me know, too, if, I don't know, either in the comments or DM me and let me know if this Friday is a good vibe for y'all. I'm liking the Friday vibe. I'm just concerned about whether if there's a time frame where I'll be traveling somewhere, whether that'll affect that or not. But chances are I'll still be using my phone and we'll figure it out. But yeah, thank y'all for joining me on another episode of the Sex Mechanic Podcast. I am your host, the Sex Mechanic, and I'll talk to you all next week. Peace out, y'all.